Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Named by The Atlantic as one of the 100 most influential figures in American history and by Time Life magazines as one of the most influential Americans of the 20th century, Ralph Nader has helped us drive safer cars, eat healthier food, breathe better air, drink cleaner water, and work in safer environments. He's done so for more than four decades. Now, consumer advocate, activist, humanitarian, and former presidential candidate Ralph Nader's new book makes a case for the far left and right to come together and says there's common good in opposing corporate America. His new book is Unstoppable, the Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. It is a great pleasure to welcome Ralph Nader back to the roundtable. Always a pleasure to have you on this program, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Donahue.
So let us talk about the emergence of this left-right alliance. How do you see this happening?
Well, I see it happening all over the country. State legislatures are reflecting left-right legislative enactments for prison reform, juvenile justice reform, for example. Newt Gingrich and Grover Norquist have started this group called Right on Crime. They think too many people are in jail for too trivial nonviolent offenses, and it's costing the taxpayer billions of dollars. On the other side are human rights and civil liberties advocates who want the same objective. So that actually is going operational. In other areas, you can see it moving into operational mode. The minimum wage comes in at 70 to 80% support for raising the minimum wage at least to the level of 1968 adjusted for inflation, which would be over $10 an hour. Now, when you go 70 to 80% in the polls behind a legislative proposal, you can be sure that includes a lot of left-right workers and people around the country.
When you look at sort of the impetus for this, do you think Citizens United was really the straw that broke the camel's back for many?
I think so. And the latest one, the McCutcheon case, which
right.
took it even further in allowing big money to corrupt elections and nullify millions of votes by people in actual practice. In other words, they're buying and renting legislators, and the legislators are paying them back. So I think we see an emerging left-right alliance there, that something has to be done, but it hasn't gone operational on a specific reform yet. They sort of have different views on the reforms. But we see also a left-right support against unconstitutional wars and militarism, the empire of wars abroad. The libertarian, longtime head of the Cato Institute, just retired, Ed Crane, told me, and I put this in the book, Unstoppable, he says he opposes corporate subsidies, unconstitutional wars, the Patriot Act, and the Federal Reserve run amok. Those are pretty good starters for a left-right coalition. But you see it even in the past, Mr. Donahue. You see just over a year ago, overcoming corporate lobbyists in Congress, an overwhelming vote of left-right to enact the Whistleblowers Act, to give federal employees the right to blow the whistle, especially on corporate fraud on the taxpayer, on the Pentagon contracts and other matters that have been widely reported in the press. And I've participated in left-right victories in Congress to get the False Claims Act of 1986. That was a combination between Republican Senator Grassley and Democrat Howard Berman. So it's happened in the past, and more is beginning to emerge. I have 24 areas of left-right convergence that are either at the verbal stage or moving into operation or actually at the legislative arena.
You write in the book, and you're talking about this, and as it indicated in the subtitle, of the dismantling of the corporate state. So it'll take these 24, 25 steps to be able to do that, to dismantle it.
Yeah, I mean, the corporations now own our government. I can't count a single department or agency in Washington where the overwhelming influence is corporate lobbying and corporate appointees to high government positions, like in the Department of Defense, Department of Interior, Treasury Department, and so on. That's not healthy. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in a message to Congress in 1938, called it fascism when a government is controlled by private economic power. That's why the government is gridlocked. That's why people are so antagonistic to the government, because they see it doesn't represent them. It represents Wall Street. It doesn't represent Main Street. So I'm looking forward to more left-right alliances to revise NAFTA and the WTO, which has sucked so many jobs out of our country and severely undermined our sovereignty, to tribunals in Geneva. I mean, that's not healthy for our country. And I like the idea, and this is a long one, left-right support for direct democracy, like 22 or 23 states have, the initiative referendum recall, or like in New England, the town meeting. Now, we've got to get people out. We've got to get people to participate. That's another problem. The breaking up the big banks because they're too big to fail, and they're now at it again with these risky derivatives on Wall Street, and they're not a sales tax the way ordinary people are when they go into stores. That comes in 80 to 90%. That hasn't gone operational yet because it hasn't been allowed on the election or political table by the politicians.
You write about this in the book of Getting to the Actions and Convergence, and you talk about the minimum wage and ultimately linking the minimum wage with inflation. I find the minimum wage a fascinating issue when we talk about exactly what you're talking about of the left-right coming together and corporations, because we say, okay, we're going to raise the – we have been unable to raise the minimum wage, and to a point where you get both sides that are able to agree on that and allow the corporations to agree with that.
Well, it's happening at the local and state level. You know, New York State has raised its minimum
yes.
wage after long delay. California has already enacted a $10 minimum wage over the next two and a half years. The mayor of Seattle is pushing for a $15 minimum wage. And, you know, Walmart has made money in Santa Fe. Santa Fe has had for some years a $10.50 per hour minimum wage. So we're waiting for politicians to put these left-right issues, these convergent issues representing a huge majority in this country, on their election table when they run for election. Now, you're going to get that in your area of Albany. Matt Funicello, who runs a bakery and has been very active in civic affairs, is
yes.
running for the House of Representatives. I call him Democracy's Baker. Matt Funicello is going to put on the table a lot of these left-right issues, and I hope other candidates do so as well. I mean, we're in deep trouble in this country, and we're in deep trouble because there's too much power in too few hands, and the few are deciding for the many on behalf of the few and their greed and power, which seems to be insatiable.
And you believe that it ultimately takes candidates to come forward to represent these viewpoints, to articulate them, and be able to help in this process.
Yeah. I mean, if you can keep issues off the table, the press doesn't cover them, there's no public discussion, even though a majority support these issues. For example, we're tying ourselves up into knots with this Affordable Care Act. I mean, the complexity, the detail, the befuddlement of people, what is going on, the paperwork, the prices continue to go up in the healthcare industry. Well, it turns out that since Harry Truman was president, a majority of the American people support full Medicare for all, everybody in, nobody out, free choice of doctor and hospital. So there it is. And right to now, people are still supporting full Medicare for all. Because it's more efficient, it's more humane, it's simple. You only have to have a Medicare card. You don't see reams of bills. You don't constantly get denied and delayed because it's more profit for the insurance companies to deny and delay. So it was taken off the table, full Medicare, by both the Republicans and Democrats in 2008, 2010, 2012. So our job is to put it on the table when we meet these politicians and they're carousing around and campaigning, is to put these issues on the job. And they're very clearly discussed and reported in this book, Unstoppable, that I've just put out this last week.
It's from Nation Books. It fascinates me, though, because we ultimately get down to still the issue of money, of having campaigns where money dominates, and the candidate who has a war chest and is able to fight, and somebody like Matt, who's a dear friend of the station, is able to keep up with that and keep up with the money. And also ultimately, even if money isn't a part of it, that, and you certainly have been, you certainly were involved in this, of even being able to join a debate.
That's true. Money right now is a huge obstacle, but alert, engaged voters, people who go out, who talk, who do what our patriots did in the before the Revolutionary War, form these informal committees of correspondence, they can overcome money. I mean, just a little over a year ago, against the opposition of the whole military-industrial complex, there were so much emails coming in on Congress and in the House of Representatives that the liberal and conservative members of the House, defying their own leadership, Speaker Boehner and Minority Leader Pelosi, defying their own leadership, almost passed a bill stopping the NSA from dragnet snooping all over the country. That was a shock. As our country was moving to plunge ourselves into the war in Syria, there was a massive left-right protest coming in on Congress. And Congress responded, even though there are a lot of corporate interests that keep wanting to churn these kinds of disputes because it produces more contracts for more weapon systems. So people can overcome this money. They can become very skeptical toward these television ads, for example, and not be taken in by them, because most of the big money goes into television propaganda. I think it's really very encouraging to see this, but people have to sense their own left-right convergent power here. They've got to sense it, stop being discouraged, and move forward to take over our country, as befits our Constitution, you know, which starts with we the people, not we the corporations. Corporations are chartered by state governments to be our servants, not our masters, 200 years ago. That was over 200 years ago. That was the philosophy at the state legislative level. Well, these giant corporations have become our masters.
This left-right alliance, this left-right convergence, speaks to the fact that there is common ground. With such polarization, do you think it is, I certainly understand that it's possible, and this is what you're calling for in this book, but in our discourse, and certainly in our media discourse, do we allow for those sides to understand that they do have a common ground?
Yeah, I'm very clear on that in my book. I don't sugarcoat the obstacles. The strategy of the corporatists, and they know what they want, and they know how to get it, is to divide the left and right, direct them to where the left and right do disagree, like they disagree on reproductive rights, they may disagree on privatizing Social Security, etc., and distract them from the major areas where they agree. And the major areas are the overwhelming areas of importance in political power, policy. They deal with shift of power from the few to the many, campaign finance reform, direct democracy, all of these things, access for third parties, more voices and choices for the voters. So I think once people get wise to how they're being divided and ruled here and distracted, they'll come together more often. We're going to see this Tuesday. I think there's Lobby Day in Albany, and with people like Walter Hang and Mark Dunley and others. Okay, they're lobbying on fracking. Fracking happens to be a left-right issue, especially the more they realize the devastation to underground water resources, etc.,
right,
not to mention the one-sided contracts. And they're also going to lobby, this is a left-right, against mass incarceration. That's where Newt Gingrich comes in. That's where Grover Norquist on the right come in. So I think people have got to start talking it up. This book is designed to generate real public discourse, and I hope it does.
I want to talk to you just for a few minutes in our final moments, because I while we were discussing on this show about as it was unfolding with GM and the ignition switches and the that entire issue and the tragedy that unfolded there. Your name was so often brought up in Unsafe at Any Speed what you were able to do with car manufacturers. And I'm curious as to how you feel. I mean, did the playing field change? Did we revert back? What happened?
It just regulation for health and safety to save lives requires eternal vigilance. So when you have administrations like the Clinton and Bush administrations basically pressing down on the Auto Safety Agency to go easy on the auto companies, not require recall of cars, not establishing updated safety standards, the enforcement agency in the Department of Transportation in Washington develops a culture of passivity. And, of course, the auto companies are alert to that, and they start cutting corners themselves. And so for over 10 years, inside this giant bureaucracy called General Motors, there was an unbelievable cover-up where hundreds of people knew about these problems, knew about the fatalities, but they all passed the buck. It wasn't their responsibility. So I think the lesson here, and I hope Congress will take that lesson in their investigations and strengthen auto safety laws, bring them up to date, more adequate enforcement budgets to protect people on the highway. Something good can come of this. Unfortunately, it took fatalities and recklessness on the part of GM to do so. And I think GM is going to shape up more on this as well under their new CEO.
Were we wrong in the bailout?
No, because of the jobs. If we let GM go down, millions of workers, directly and indirectly, would have gone down in communities all over the country. My criticism of the bailout is it didn't have a quid pro quo sufficient. When the bailout occurred and the government got 60% or more of the shares of GM, the government owned GM, the shareholders. So they could have straightened out GM in so many ways to put them on a model fast track for fuel efficiency, emission control, safety. It would have been a model for the world, but they didn't do that. The government just was hands off, and more of these non-defect recall syndromes started to fester. That was a lost opportunity.
And in the latest report over the weekend, that it cost taxpayers $11 million.
Yeah, at least $11
billion. $11 billion, excuse me.
All the other side costs.
When you look at this emerging left-right alliance, you seem, from talking to you in our conversation, you seem optimistic.
Yeah, I am, because it's a majority. It's unstoppable once it connects and goes operational, both at the local, state, and national levels. Obviously, it's fighting against another alliance. It's the corporate Democrats and corporate Republicans alliance in Washington that brought us deregulation of the New York banks and Wall Street and the collapse that followed, that bought us the trade agreements, NAFTA and WTO, that brought us these wars of aggression, that brought us so much taxpayer subsidies of corporate misbehaving corporations, corporate welfare, what the right calls crony capitalism. So that's what has to be confronted. But guess what? The left-right on the good side vastly outnumbers the corporate Democrats and the corporate Republicans. And I might add also that it goes right down into values. There's a huge left-right opposition to the commercialization of childhood, the marketeers bypassing, undermining parental authority, and selling these children age 4, 6, 8 junk food, junk drink, terribly violent programming. That is a big one that comes in. And I think we can turn this country around once we observe the obstacles and the divide and rule tactics of the corporatists. All this is outlined very clearly in my new book, Unstoppable.
It is entitled Unstoppable, The Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. The book is published by Nation Books. Ralph Nader, it's always a pleasure to hear your thoughts on these very important issues. I appreciate the time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Donahue. Thank
Great
your
pleasure.
Audience.
Thank you. Ralph Nader's new book is Unstoppable. It's published by Nation Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.